The voice of one crying the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The voice of one crying the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The voice of one crying the wilderness. Prepare.
Greetings from Zion. You're listening to a message by Pastor Ita of God's Lighthouse. As you listen, we pray you receive eyes to see, ears to hear, and an understanding heart. Remember, test all things and hold fast to what is good. For more information, visit our website at gods-lighthouse.org.
Amen. Let's continue to read from Hebrews 12. I'm starting from verse 3. In fact, I'll start from verse 1, but my emphasis is actually verse 5 and 6. So as I was found myself praying in the car, and this word dropped in my heart from Hebrews chapter 12. The exact word is, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. But we'll read from verse 1. I was actually, funny. I was on my way to go pray for someone, really, before I passed for the other meeting. So when I had it, I started wondering, is it for the person? Because in my mind, I was praying for the person I was headed to, but it seems immediately I got this, I knew it was for us here. So I started wondering, okay, I wonder why God is talking to me about the church when I'm thinking of something else. But I think we'll be able to see why. We'll look at two passages, but this is the emphasis. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you're rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. But he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So, look at the book of 2 Kings chapter 17. I'm reading from verse 1. In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, Hoshea, the son of Elah, became king of Israel in Samaria. What does Israel represent? The church of God, the people of God, yes? It's important you know this. And he reigned 9 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as the kings of Israel who were before him. Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against him, and Hoshea became his vassal and paid him tribute money. What does your translation say about the fact that he did not do it as the kings of Israel who were before him? Let me read another, the ESV. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, yet not as the kings of Israel who were before him. Just the same thing. I believe that sounds like he was not as evil as some of the kings before him. Right? So that should be, that should count in his favor, right? So you think. So let's keep reading. Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against him, and Hoshea became his vassal and paid him tribute money. How does your Bible render vassal? All your Bibles say the same thing. His servant. A vassal nation is a nation under another. All the things we refer to as colonies and all that, you know, that's a form of becoming a vassal nation. Most African countries were once vassal nations. But even bigger, America was once a vassal nation. Did you know that? United States of America. They were vassals to. It wasn't even really a country at the time, but they were under the British. They were just an extension of the British government. Till the people fought back. They said, leave us alone. We are independent. All right. They became a vassal nation and had to pay tribute. Tribute money. That's what happens with vassal nations. You have to pay up. You're answerable to someone. It doesn't start and end with you. You don't have sovereignty. And the king of Assyria uncovered a conspiracy by Hoshea, the so-called better king. A conspiracy was uncovered about him, for he had sent messengers. So, king of Egypt, this Pharaoh was called S.O. So, and brought no tribute to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore, the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. Now the king of Assyria went throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it for 3 years. In the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away to Assyria. Who did he carry away? Which king carried them away? The king of carried Israel away to Assyria and placed them in Halal and by the harbor, the river of Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes. For so it was, this is about to tell you why, how things like this can happen. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. What's the thing they had done? They sinned against the Lord who had saved them from Pharaoh. So you want to go back to Egypt? All right, let me show you what happens to those who would go back to Egypt. So they are gone to Egypt. So king of Egypt for help, forgetting that God had delivered them from Egypt. That's the one thing they had done. Another thing they had done, and they had feared other gods. First commandment, I'm the Lord your God, you shall have no other God besides me. It didn't stick. Verse 8, and had walked in the statutes of the nations whom the Lord had cast out from before the children of Israel, and of the of Israel, which they had made. So they had walked by the rules of the people who had been vacated for them to stay. People had been vacated for them to occupy. Certain occupants had been moved away, and they had come by the hand of a mighty God. They had been established in a certain way, and they started behaving like the people who had been vacated. What do you think happens if sin resulted in the first batch of people being vacated? What do you think will happen to the second batch of people who do the same things? They'll also be moved out. Verse 9. Also, the children of Israel secretly did against the Lord their God things that were not right. These ones were not open. These ones were secret. They secretly did things against the Lord their God that were not right. And they built for themselves high places in all their cities, from watchtower to fortified city. They set up for themselves sacred pillars and wooden images on every high hill and under every green tree. There they burned incense on all the high places, like the nations whom the Lord had carried away before them. Who knows what incense is spiritually? It's in the Psalms. I want to show you. Psalm 141. It says, let my prayer be set before you as incense. It's not just an opinion. Over and over again, we've talked about how prayer is incense in the spirit. So what happens when you're praying or worshiping or anything? When the veil is pulled aside and you see in the spirit realm, what you see going up is incense. But I've told you before, it can go up as black incense. We've seen visions of people gathering in buildings and praying, and thick black smoke came out and choked everyone to death in the place. Like, literally, those people's prayers were killing them. And they're very happy. They leave the place saying, ah, the devil is in trouble. We have prayed today. I don't know if you've been in a prayer meeting that felt like physical exercise before, like, literally, like you went. And I see people walk out, and I hear people boasting. I've heard people say, if nothing else. The part that used to shock me, it really worried me, was the fact that every time after they come out, they're like, after today, no more. Then the next 10 years. I'm like, I thought you were so confident that after one time, how can you have the heart to do one kind of thing so many times? How has it not occurred to you that if it was effective the first time, let's say the second or third time, at the very most, okay, fine, 7 times. But 3 years later, you're still saying the devil is in trouble. How is he in trouble? The devil is laughing. There's something wrong with your prayer. If you prayed so passionately to change something and it didn't change, it's likely your incense was not accepted by God. Because when it's accepted, the Bible tells you in the book of Revelation, he takes it and turns it back and pours it down on the earth in the form of answers. The Bible says they come sometimes as thunder and lightning. That's what God converts the incense into. He converts prayer into answers. But if he turns it back down and nothing happens, please, you must understand that your incense was unacceptable. It wasn't concocted according to the rules. By the way, do you know there were rules for concocting the incense offered before God? Called the law. There were rules for concocting the incense you offer to God. Till today, there are the rules. If you look at the Lord's Prayer, you will find some. That was how to concoct incense. Our Father in heaven, it starts with relationship and it goes on from there. Those are the rules for concocting acceptable incense. You bring, the Bible tells you, you weren't permitted to make the kind of, same thing with the what the Bible calls the holy anointing or oil. It was said that no one else should create the same combination. Don't create it and use it. It was just for God. Not those things were not mere ritual. They were symbolic of how you should relate with God, but in the spirit. Those were physical representations of spiritual things. Let me read Psalm 141, still verse 2. The second part says, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. And again, you've heard me say that often, that the lifting up of your hands is also considered sacrifice. The lifting up of your hands is sacrifice to God. So when they are worshiping and you hear once in a while, or you just feel you should, some people just do it on their own, then some people don't. They take it like, what for? You know, it's kind of a picture of surrender, but it's not just surrender. It's as the evening sacrifice. It's sacrifice the lifting up of my hands. Have you not read Moses stood on the mountain? All Moses did. The Bible doesn't tell he was speaking in tongues. He stood with his hand lifted up. And what was happening? Israel was winning the battle. Whenever Moses' hands came down, which is why you must not allow the hands of people that have some authority in your life to go down. You have to strive to keep those hands up. I think you've had it read here today already. I heard Amaka say something about lifting up the feeble hands. Because Moses' hands got feeble. And he needed people, you know, helping people pray is wisdom. Helping people stay prayed up is much wisdom. When their hands go down, battles are lost. So don't let your neighbor's hands go weak, including people that have authority over you spiritually, that are accountable for you. Don't be the one that weakens them. Don't make them look at you and go like, it's not wise. Too often, people look for the reasons for problems in their lives while doing, I want an illustration. Now, if you know anything about sound, you know it's not good. Actually, it's not good to be doing this. Did you know? Yes, that's why they say testing. That is not good to do that. Now, let's say you're amongst those class of people that do it, and you do it very well. Pop, pop, pop. Pop, 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 pop. And every so often, the mics you use for whatever purpose go bad. And you keep saying, I don't know what's wrong with these mics. Even while you're saying it, I don't know. They are always having problems. That's how many people are spiritually. They are doing the very thing that results in the problems and looking for something else to blame for the problem. But they keep doing the thing causes the problem. A strange matter, but absolutely real. Very common. You know, sometimes I'm speaking with people, I'm slightly embarrassed. You're wondering how to say it. That you don't you understand this thing you are doing now as I'm talking to you? This is why you keep being in this rut. This is why your life will go from bad to worse. And you wonder how to say it nicely. It's so hard for me sometimes. I was talking with someone today and the person said something about consecrating themselves to God. And then later on, the person said something about, well, maybe it's just something else. I said, no. It's the first one you said. The first one you said, that is why. That's why your relationship with God has gone to the dogs. It's not another thing. When you blame me on something else, but the man was like, I don't know why. To me, it's so obvious why. It's so obvious. If only you stick with the Bible, you will know. If you believe the Bible, you will know why. If you don't believe the Bible, you look for every reason except the reason. And the devil will help you. Of course, he doesn't want you to go free. So he'll keep giving, he'll point at people. And when he's run out of major options, especially if you're a Nigerian, he'll point to your village, which you've never visited before. He'll talk about some old lady you've never known about her existence. He'll fabricate a creature for you. And you put the blame. I don't know who sang a song that sounds like, put the blame on me. I don't know. I just remember that line. They should be singing it in church. That song should be sung. I think all the old people, village people, poor people, if they are children, should come to church and sing, you put the blame on me. And if they sing it, God will fight on their behalf. Because it's amazing how people blame everyone except the one that deserves the blame. I mean, they're looking at themselves. Sometimes, some of us don't look at the mirror much, but just look at the mirror. There's the problem. Don't break the mirror. It's not the mirror that's the problem. It's the person reflected in the mirror. They are attitudes, there's behavior that results in certain things. We are reading it. We are back to 2 Kings. We are reading it. This is why the children of Israel were wholesale migrated out of their land. Taken away. God is telling you why. If it's today, you say, every enemy. God doesn't think that way. God says, they burned incense. Verse 12, they served idols. of which the Lord had said to them, you shall not do this thing. You shall not do this thing. The Lord had said to them, you shall not do this thing. When God says, don't do something, and you do it, whenever something goes wrong in your life, every single time something goes wrong in your life, if you have any iota of spiritual common sense, check yourself. Ask God. Check. Just do an inventory. You can use the Ten Commandments. Is there someone here that has been told the Ten Commandments are not applicable anymore? I've talked about this sometime, okay, but can you just forget that thing? They are. Jesus, so let me tell you how you know they are. Jesus said, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. This is in the New Testament. Paul said it too. On this hang all the law and the prophets. If you want to summarize all of the Old Testament, which is the law, in case you didn't know, the law and the prophets is the Old Testament. The law is Moses. The prophets, all those guys talking, prophesying. Yeah, that's the law and the prophets. But if you still say, the law, Jesus said, is found in this. Love the Lord your God, one. Love your neighbor as yourself, two. He said, if you do that, you can't break any of the other. How? The first four commandments are the definition of loving the Lord your God. First commandment, have no other God besides me. Second commandment, don't make any graven image. Third commandment, do not dishonor the name of the Lord, take it in vain. Fourth commandment, keep the Sabbath holy. That's loving the Lord. Fifth commandment, thou shalt not steal. Sixth, don't kill. Seven, don't commit adultery. If I mix it up, forgive me, but you get the general gist. Eight, covet is, except I missed the numbering, covet is the last commandment. Bearing false witness is the ninth commandment. So what's the eighth one? Stealing is eight. Killing is seven. I missed honor your father and mother. That was the fifth one. Imagine when you finally found out. Alright, so you find that in Deuteronomy chapter 5, and you find it in Exodus chapter 20. Now, those are the Ten Commandments. There's none of it from honoring your father and mother down to the end. All of that. If you do any of that against someone, you don't love the person. It's so simple. No one worthy of honor likes being dishonored. No one. I raised you up. I cleaned your poop. I have suffered for you. You this T-H-I-N-G. I have suffered for you. There's no height you come to that you should disregard me. It doesn't exist. There's no construct in which you can choose whether you greet me or not. I've suffered too long for 18 years. I think of you, suffer for you, labor. No, you shouldn't be able to get up to your father. God himself, he doesn't care. He doesn't care. Don't do it. And Jesus interpreted honoring your father and mother as what? Giving to them, taking care of them. If they don't have, in normal Jewish society, as they grow older, they couldn't labor much. As society, things are different. People have pensions. It doesn't change. You should still honor them in small ways. Yes, you might be the one struggling, but you're going there, a token, something. I've said it, a bottle of groundnut, cashew nut, bananas, a new pair of slippers for your mom, something. It's called honor, and it means giving. But in the most exact form, it means you dare not let them suffer and live large. You dare not. Don't think of it. If you want a curse, you don't need a witch. Just do this one. You need no witches. You do not need evil people on the earth. You just need yourself stupid. Have flat screen TVs. Let your mother sip Gary once. I don't mean 10 times. Just do any such thing. Plan to buy a new car. Let her roof be leaking. You don't need a curse. You're cursed. People complicate simple things. Of course, the same thing applies spiritually. You have someone that has tended you, cared for you spiritually, nurtured you, and you come to a place you think you just open your mouth, insult them, and all that. And this is the funny thing. These people might do things that make you feel like not honoring them. Of course, with spiritual family, it's a bit different. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. You read it. It's clear. It's obvious what how God says you should relate with those that have spiritual input into your life. However, it also implies, it doesn't mean, now that does not mean in any way that if the person that helped nurture you, if he's missed the way, like gone off tangent, like become a full-time Judas, I'm not going to regard you more than God, okay? In those synagogues, Jesus challenged people. He used to go to those synagogues too. I hope you know. You know Jesus didn't miss synagogue? You think Jesus missed church meetings? You haven't read. The Bible says, as was his habit, he went there, Luke chapter 4, opened the book. The people took him out to kill him immediately. He said, this scripture is fulfilling. So it was his habit to read scripture. He was involved. Don't have a wrong picture of Jesus. He didn't just come one day from nowhere. Nope. Bible tells you it was his manner to do that. All right. I'm not saying if someone teaches error, and God tells me to speak about the error, I won't speak about it because of the role that person has. No. There's a reason Jesus said in Matthew 23, he said, call no man father, for you have one father, which is God. The word father is Greek pater, from which you have paternity, paternal, and all that. And it means source. Source. S-O-U-R-C-E. A source. The one from which other things emanate. That's what father means. So when people say, my father, Paul, in qualifying and using the term too, so you can know it can apply to a human being in some way. Not final, but intermediary, in an intermediary way. Paul said, you may have 1,000 instructors, but I have fathered you. That doesn't necessarily mean someone that led you to Christ. How do I know? Because the Bible says, Paul called Timothy his son. Says my son, I don't have any other like him. And we know that Timothy was already a disciple before Paul met him. Okay, so there's evidence to back up what we're saying. We're not just talking here. You know, he was already a disciple. The Bible says he found a disciple there and he took him and circumcised him. So what's the major thing a father does? Abraham to Isaac and so on and so forth. Circumcises. So usually the one that circumcises you and leads you on and trains you and chastises you, of course, which is the passage we read today, is the one that is fathering you. The one that helps to make you into a man. The person you ought to be. Matures you. Has that level of interest. The person that led you to Christ could have been in a Rehan Bonke meeting and spoke. And you came out amongst 3,000 other people. 10,000. That doesn't make him your father in the Lord at all. That you attend the church where that person is doesn't make him your father in the Lord at all. What makes the person a father in the Lord is the person, the one nurturing you, making you become a man of God. Man of God doesn't mean automatically a full-time preacher. It just means someone that is being shaped. What? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. The word of God tells you what it does. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, rhetoric, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished or equipped for every good work. So whoever is helping equip you for every good work, that's a father in the Lord. Do you understand? So Paul said, you may have 1,000 instructors, but you have one father. He wasn't bragging. He was just saying, that's the way it is. I'm the ones that shaped you guys. So you may have 1,000 other people pass through and give instructions. Second, he pointed out that typically a father will do things that you can imitate. He said it. He said, imitating me. He would do things you can see. They make provision for imitation. They don't come out and shine. Come out from behind a curtain, shine and disappear behind the curtain. You never know how. You never know where. You don't know how. The tricks of the trade are not shown. I'm using that loosely. I don't mean they are tricks. I simply mean they don't teach you how to pray. Don't teach you how to pray. Don't teach you how to cast out demons. Don't teach you how to deliver, heal, all that. That is not real. You can't imitate them because you don't know what. You need to see to imitate. Yes? If you're not seeing, how can you imitate? So they are available to you. That's what will make a father. Take note of these things in case you need to father people. And by the way, let me tell you, young people are usually fathers, not very old men. You didn't hear. I hope I'm turning your thinking upside down. All your life, your father is an old man, right? To be old like this. Is it old men that have children? It's young men. So age is not the basis. Yes, I know there's a level of maturity. There is a level of maturity before you should be a father. So you shouldn't be a teenager, okay? The mother and the child might die from hunger. But there's a healthy age, 20s, 20. So spiritually, there's a healthy age for you to start fathering people. Don't say, no, when I've been a Christian for forever, when I'm around 50, I'll now be a father. Ah, this is a father in Israel. Stop that. Many of them by then are not fathers. They are grandparents. Spiritually. Others do. And they glory in, oh yeah, my sons have, they are like grandchildren. To them, they are not exerting much. But if you are laboring, so actually, if you're wise, try and mature quickly so you can, because the older you grow, the more distant you become from the field, and the less you can father people. The larger the age difference, the harder it is for them to see you, how you do what you do. If you're 65 years old, it won't be too easy to father people that are 20. I'm not saying it's not possible. I expect, you know, the righteous, you should be growing younger. But most people don't. They now become big men that just arrive and depart. They are not typically still in the trenches, yes? You understand what I'm saying? They are not typically. You know what it means to be in the trenches? At the front of the war? Right there in the mud with the soldiers. They become like generals behind. And you hear people boast about being generals, yeah. But most generals are not like fathers. They are just giving instructions from somewhere. Spiritually, I know I'm mixing analogies, okay? So there's a military setup, there's a family type setup. But still, I want you to draw some things from there. Amen. So, God wants you to assess yourself whenever things go wrong. Look at Israel. This is one of the clearest expressions of why things happen. Israel sinned. And they were handed over to the enemy. I have recently been significantly distressed. Like it's come to the fore. To the front burner for me. The whole matter of attacking people. I was preaching somewhere on Wednesday morning. You know, this whole thing about blaming people. Blaming people. Blaming people. A blatant sinner blaming people. I don't know if I posted that thing on the classroom. The thing about witches. Something. There's a picture of a witch. Did I? Oh, it's not in the classroom. I have to do that. So, someone gave a story there about how artisans, like workmen, what you call, like tailors, you know, artisans, people that do things with their hands. And the specific example, he was talking about how they look for witches to blame for business not thriving and all that, when they themselves are their own witches. And it's a real story. I don't know who told it, but the way it's written, you know, it actually happened. And he says, you know, and the girl's name is Choma, like that's, he puts the name there. And she is recommended by someone else, and she sews clothes for his wife and does it really well and delivers it on time. Has this happened to you? First time, tell her, first time job. Come on. If you're a Nigerian, you know what? It's a rule. They train them like that in fraud. And the next time they take much more money, give her to buy the materials and do everything. And he said at the time of the writing till now, they've not seen the lady again. But he did have a glimpse of the lady. He hasn't seen the job. He hasn't seen anything, but he's in church. And they are praying. I don't know if he's doing the cross over now or something. And they are praying really hard, really passionately, really strongly. But there's someone behind him who is praying too loudly, so much so that he can't hear himself. The person is taking authority over principalities and powers and is really violent in the spirit, really against everything that will hinder their business. He finally can't help. He has to turn and look at this person disturbing. Guess who it is? It's Choma. Now, it would be funny if it wasn't so real. You see, and this matter has been disturbing. I don't know, the person that sent it to me wouldn't know, has no idea about the fact that I've been talking about this at this time. This whole thing about pointing fingers, putting the blame on something. When the blame is here, Israel was shipped off out of their country because they refused to take responsibility for their actions. They disobeyed God in multiple ways. Think, you know, I don't know what it is with people that think that you can disobey God and get away with it. I don't know what you're thinking. What exactly do you want? Now, some people say, I've tried. You see, I used to almost believe that, but it's a long time ago. Do you know a solution I preferred? If you find the place where the Spirit of God is, go there for every single meeting. You will overcome with time. You see a place like this, come here consistently, non-stop. The power of Satan will be broken off your life. If it is not possible, it will not. I didn't say you should do anything apart from come. That is, even if as you finish, you'll go back and you're very stupid. Come again. Your stupidity will be beaten out of you. It will depart from you at some point. If it's demons, they will leave you. If it's ignorance, it will go before the light of God's truth. But whatever it is, it will go. If only you will tell yourself, let me do one thing, keep coming. But you see someone say, no, God knows I want to change. Yes, God knows you want to be healed, but the last place you go to is the hospital. Are you serious? You want to be healed. I have this terrible wound. I've been looking for help. This is a bar. You're looking for help? Yes, so do you know anyone that can help me, bro? It's called, read my lips, hospital. Can you pronounce that? If that's too long, say clinic. And the Bible says, I know, sir, but keep praying for me. What are you saying? If you're not in a bar, you're in a sports field, you're in a stadium. If you're not in a stadium, you're in a club. You're not sick. You don't have a wound. If you have a wound, you look for a clinic. It seems people have a lot of good sense in physical things, but spiritually, they don't seem to have a clue. It's like spiritually, they think they can break the rules. In the spirit realm, a proper church is a hospital. God has shown us that many times. A hospital, you look at it, it's exactly like a hospital. And people are coming in. We see people on stretchers being carried in, attended to, you know. That's what's happening in the spirit all the time. As the words of God, the Bible says, He sent forth His word and healed all their diseases. His word, He heals. So there's healing going forth as the words of God are coming. Healing is coming. Restoration, wounds are dealt with. As you hear the word and obey and pray in line with it, restoration occurs. When someone has a challenge, he goes to where challenges are dealt with. But what is it people love this country and many other parts of the world too? They want to go to a place where they have solutions meted out without responsibility. That is the person that they give a blister. Okay, so they give him a packet of tablets. It has 10 blisters on it. You know the thing you push out the tablet from? It's called a blister. And it has 10 blisters. And they say, take two in the morning, two in the evening, two in the morning, two in the evening. No, the first they take just two. Then the next two morning, two evening, like that. And the person looks at it and says, me, I don't like tablets. And takes, there are 10. Takes five. Anyhow. And throws away the rest. And you see them after 3 days, 5 days, 1 week, and say, you're not still feeling well. What I'm about to say now, many of you are guilty of. And I tend to forget. And it's really annoying. If I was God, I would tell an angel to knock your head. Thank God I'm not. I mean physically. And they throw it away. And then, off they go. And you say, you're not feeling, I'm still feeling. Did you take medication? I took. You took what? 10 tablets, you took 5 or 6, threw away the rest. The whole concept of what is referred to as dosage. You don't do it. I've been a tablet. I take some now. They think God tire me. There's a certain measure of medication in each of the tablets. It's supposed to work a certain way. Even the timing, all of it is supposed to deliver battering on the pathogens in your body that shouldn't be there. There's a reason for it. You ignore all the rules, you want to get well. Or picture another person just taking all the 10 I want, throwing into his mouth. I hope you know there will be another hospital visit, but someone will be rushed in. Of course, it's only in movies. They will rush in, and if it's here, they'll pack you like a sack. I hope there's someone to pack you, sir. And run and throw you there. Until you buy a card, they won't attend to you. While that time, you're dying. Don't do that. Don't do any of those things here. It's in America that they rush people, fly people, do all those things. Here, nobody will do anything for you. America, they'll treat you first, then they'll ask for money later. Here, hey, you know that. Don't do any funny thing. Now, people, God won't allow you have to go to a hospital. You walk in divine healing, amen? That's a prayer. But I'm saying that spiritually, people come to God and He recommends a dose. God leads you to one of His doctors, a pastor, a church, and He recommends a dose. Now, like there are quack doctors, quack pharmacists, chemists, everything. They are, spiritually, they are more by far than they are physically. They will recommend everything. You're suffering from dehydration, 3 days dry. Look at how you're laughing. Meanwhile, many of you have been doing what I've just said since you were born. You have received, you have been given treatments that are the exact opposite of what you need. And you paid for it before you left. On top. Just collected trouble. Your problem is depression. They tell you to fast. No, not right. By that person needs to eat, it's eating time. You didn't know that. You're suffering from depression. You're always heavy. You feel like you want to die. Huh? They should feed you. They should make you happy. You should be made happy. Spiritually, you're struggling with one thing or the other. There's proper treatment. Of course, with the Holy Spirit, He uses different variations. Like there are different kinds of malaria treatments. In the same way, God has multiple ways to come about. But most of them will follow a similar direction. You know how they say young doctors? I was hearing Banky say he's a medical doctor, you know, a pathologist, and he was talking about how he was taught by an older professor and all that, and it's exactly the truth. That a young doctor is in a haste. Very dangerous things, young doctors. Did you know? I know the medical students, so I don't care. Very dangerous things. Like they're in a haste to show off. They say old doctors take a long time to come, be able to form, give a diagnosis to a prognosis. They take a long time. They are trying to assess. They think. The older, the more they check it. A young one, is this thing now? Put people at risk. I mean, one of us was told to go in for surgery for something here. We prayed here. Did I just say, we prayed and God said, no, hold on first. We told her, hold on. The doctor said, we are ready now. When we went to visit her that day, the next day, she went for a test. They came, it's not appendicitis. It is, they would have finished cutting her open since. Rash doctors, rash, you know. If you think, I'm not blasting doctors, I'm just saying, you say, there's something about you, but it's also why I encourage people to be humble. Don't be too quick. Quick to hear, slow to speak. It happens spiritually, I see it in this house too, I see it also. Very fast, the younger they are, the more they know the answer to everything, very fast. You know I'm the slowest person in this place. I take time. Let's pray about it. Nobody like, they'll just leave me and look for someone that will give an answer now. I dreamt this. I saw this. I know this. I feel this. What is it? Shuba. Here's your answer. Supplied. Like instant. Core i7 type. It's called i8 out. It's i7 still. Like rapid fire. I hear sometimes and Shuba like, how did you? I feel like bowing, like you are just amazing. A prodigy, child wonder. Young doctors are dangerous. They are known. You know, Banky was telling a story about his own mother. I think it was his mother. I heard this message many years ago. And they said, oh, this is wrong with you and that is wrong with you. And he recommended one heavy drug. If not by God's mercy that he got to hear about it before the mother took the medication, the thing would have killed her. Do you know how many people die in your country from doctors? It's because nobody sues doctors here. They would have cooled down if they start suing doctors, and they will, in Jesus' name. When they start suing doctors, if you know how many... What is that? Are the medical people complaining? It won't affect you. Just behave yourself. Don't be proud. You can't be careless with people's lives. You cannot be careless with people's lives. Just, is it in there? Off you go. Someone takes it and dies. There's family mourning. And off you go. That night you eat. No, it's really serious. I hear stories, my ears tingle. If it's outside this country, ha! Medical malpractice suits would have been, it would have been pouring on your head like hell. That's H-A-I-L. It would come in massive, heavy forms. God does not permit us to be rash. The Bible says you should be quick to hear and slow to. You think, don't you know being a Christian should save you from all sorts of problems? Being a Christian is the best thing in the world. So while all your mates are in a hurry to show off, it's cardiovascular, you'll be slowing down saying, well, there are about five other things that makes, do you know what the old doctors have? That there are five other things that present the same symptoms. They slow down. This brash young thing that is in a hurry to return to his phone, is in a hurry to go for a date. Don't recommend anything, because it's in a hurry. It's in a hurry. He's looking at the time. My friends are calling me. You better know your calling. You better know your calling. If you're called to be a doctor, be a doctor. Do it like ministry, the way we are doing it. So, you don't say I'm not old enough. I'll learn. After killing how many people? Don't kill anyone. None of you here will ever kill anyone in Jesus' name. Amen. Never. You'll never be brash. It's not a matter of whether they sue you or not. You will not be you don't have blood on your hands. You don't have blood on your hands. How can you have blood on your hands? Just because you're in a hurry. This is life and death. You took the Hippocratic oath. It's life and death. So you must be super careful. It's like someone giving legal advice, but you can't compare. Medical advice is far, far, far more intense than legal advice. But legal advice, to a lesser extent, just give advice. You see, people, they give advice that will bring them money at the expense of the person's well-being. The person's well-being. That person you're giving the advice, what you're saying, is it for his well-being? Or is for, you look at it, if I have to go to God for 2 years, I'll get transport money for 2 years, 6,000, 6,000 times, once a month. You look at the person is a cash cow to you. This is going to be a source of not less than 170,000 for me. So in your mind, you're not giving the person the best advice. You're meant to give the best advice for the person. These are all necessary matters in God's eyes. These kinds of sins, people don't even think of. But going back, you know, I was using the medical analogy to say that God is like a doctor. He has rules. And he's a careful doctor. God is not some brash young MD. God has been at this business. How long? He's God. So before God looks at you and gives you medical counsel, you can be sure it's the best in the world. I pray, because I know many, many of God's doctors. The truth is, some of them are not doctors. Some are orderlies. Some are hospital administrators. Do you know there's a difference? There ought to be a difference. I don't know if you know that. You're wondering. Some of the medical people in your mind, you're saying, no, many of the administrators are medical doctors, usually older ones. Yes? Yes, they are. Didn't you know? They are. But it's the foolishness of mankind Oh, he's the most brilliant mind in his field. You take him and make him an administrator. Stupid. Leave him alone. Let him keep doing surgeries. Someone is wondering, who are you to come and change? I have the Holy Ghost and good sense. This is the best in his field. Why on earth did you put him behind a desk? How can you give him a file? He's not meant to be doing filing stuff. He's meant to be doing surgeries. He's the best. Yes? But no, the normal procedure is after some years you get promoted. I bind your promotion. You don't get that. I have the grace to heal people. I have an evangelistic calling. I go out everywhere. I'm healing the sick, doing wonders. Picture Todd White. Then they make him head of missions and put him in an office in a headquarter on the 60th floor to oversee missionaries everywhere. Don't you know the world has just suffered? Don't you know? Can you understand? That's it. It's foolishness. It's, you know, the world is, you know, minus Jesus, there's a lot of foolishness in the air. It's why they'll take a mind like Oputa, super legal mind, very sharp, fully alive, not even weak or sick. He's 65 years old or 70. Retire. Retire for what? The guy is producing results like this. There's the mandatory retirement age. Someone will say, no, but how will others come up? Did we come to this world for others to come up? We came to this world. Shouldn't you be doing good? How many of you would like to be attended to by the worst? How many of you want to go to the hospital and be attended to by the worst doctor because he's new? And he's not bad. He's just new, so he barely knows anything. How many of you want to give him a chance? You have to give. The young shall grow. Yes? Yes? The best way to do this thing is do it together. Do you understand? Get the old, walk with the young. Yes? And instead of always throwing away things that are still in their prime, very useful. But it's the world that behaves like that. Even Christian organisms behave like that. They do things because it's done. It's time to promote this one. It's time to move this one from here to there. Every 3 years, they transfer pastors. What are you doing? This person is a generator of souls. Don't just do because it's done. Do things because God says, which is why being led by the Spirit is the most important thing of anyone that wants to be a son. As many as are led by the Spirit, not by weird rules. That's what happens when you go back to Egypt. When you start adopting weird rules. Rules that are held by everyone. So we see from the passage we read that Israel was responsible for what happened to them. Do you remember that king was not as bad as other kings? The worst thing that ever happened to Israel happened in his time. How does that work spiritually? Spiritually, the way that works is there's a time when someone's cup gets full. There's a time when the cup gets full. God could not give the land to Abraham. Who knows why? He said, until the iniquity of the Amorite is full. It would take 400 years, Abraham, for their cup to be full. But when it was full, Joshua arrived on the scene with the children of Israel and wiped them all out and occupied the space. God was waiting for Israel's cup to be full. He started complaining from Jeroboam. When Jeroboam built the two golden calves, what were the two golden calves? A substitute for going to the temple. A substitute for worshiping how God said they should worship. God started counting. Do you know Israel was also shipped off to a strange land, Babylon? Judah was shipped off also later on. Because they didn't start their own yet. So counting did not begin also. God has time. There's a time for everything. You know the scary part? The scary part is when some... The average human being does not know the time. But the Bible says that those that are wise will understand. When you fear God, one of the things he will do, who is the secret of the Lord with? Those who fear him. Those that fear him. Sometimes you look at someone, you can see, it's like 11:55. The person is behaving exactly as though it is 6 p.m. I don't know if you've tried talking to someone who was 11:55 from before. You say, See, is if you, you know, the other day I was going to pray that God should give you burdens. You should feel burdened. It's a horrendous thing. You're torn between telling them, do you know you likely die? You know, when I was in university, those were the beginnings of my such experiences. I would look, I didn't understand it. I got to understand it better and better. Thank God I learned from people that had gone before. But I remember every time I had to say something, since God never spoke to me as clearly as I would have liked, I would just know something is really wrong. I'm going to be very wrong with this person. I used to read it like something bad is going to happen. As time has gone, I've looked back and come to understand many times that God was letting me know that something is bad now, but the fruit of that thing that is wrong is going to come to pass. So I would find tears pouring down my eyes or something, you know, or a pain, like grieving, like something very bad happened, even though nothing has happened. And I remember that normally what I would say, I'll say, please, can I talk with you? Can we meet after the class or something? Or I need to talk with you on something. And later on, I would find myself sitting with the person and I would hem and haw for the longest time. What I want to, I'm talking about like 15 minutes or 30 minutes. Me, I didn't have, you people have help. I didn't have any help. The Holy Ghost was my teacher. There's this thing, so it's usually after the person has told me, go ahead and talk, it's okay. They will almost start comforting me. Like, I'm serious. So I remember Chioma, I had a classmate called Chioma, she was so sweet, you know. And she's like, it's okay. Her voice was so, like, she put on her motherly voice, you know, comforted me. Like, say what you want to say. Because I'm like, there's something that happens to me sometimes. And it is usually a sign that something that is not good will happen. Example, and it's usually if someone is living in sin. And almost every time I felt those things, the person was, it was usually immorality, almost every time. And it was always Christians, except for once or twice. Always born again Christians. God didn't used to give me heavy burdens for unbelievers. Burdens for unbelievers, barely. Rarely, I was walking with someone once, and I'm just like, I don't know, I'm feeling this burden. Walked from our house, we were on holidays. By the time we turned around the corner like that, someone ran and said, oh, so-and-so's mother is dead. I said, oh, no wonder. I was just feeling it like this. So between there and here, you know, I didn't even know the person who died. All I knew is it was someone that's close, related to someone we knew. So that's rare. Almost every other time, I was a born-again child of God. And it would just be a nebulous burden. Sometimes, as time went on, maybe every time I see you, I'm sitting next to a particular person. After three times before, I'm like, wait, too. It's always you. It's when you ever, it's you. It's like, many times I've been like, you are the problem. What? I've been walking around this thing many of you call depression. I've told you to grow up. After you become, be spiritual properly. So you know the difference between depression and a burden from the Almighty God. Thank God I'm not in your hostels. If the way my head works now, somebody, I would slap you out of a depression. Because God is saying, go and pray. You're there pitying yourself. Pour me. No, pour someone else. You should be praying in tongues. You're pitying yourself. Why pitying yourself? Someone will die. You now say, on top of my pity of myself, someone now died. It's your fault. You should have come to the knowledge of how things work. If you went, if your heart, do you know one reason why your heart shouldn't be occupied with too many things? So you can distinguish between soul and spirit. The word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to distinguish between soulish and spirit. But when there's no word in you, everything you feel is you. Everything is you. I've just been feeling sad. I'm having the blues. The white call it the blues. I'm down in the dump. There's a feeling of melancholy. You may go beyond that and say maybe it's linked to some form of nostalgia. I'm remembering. I was just remembering. God will bring something to your memory. Everything is you. Oh, selfishness. Oh, Jesus, help us. God brings someone to your memory, which is a picture of what he's trying to tell you. You start saying, hey, I'm missing my best friend. Next thing, the bane called phones. You pick your phone. Everything God tried to say, just lost. That like so-and-so, at so-and-so time, such a thing is about to happen to someone else now. I want you to intercede. It means pick your phone and go on a two-hour chat.
How are you? I remember the time. I remember those days.
God has to help us, yes? He has to, he has to. And then next thing, you hear someone died, something, you say, ow, and I was just remembering someone exactly like them. Hey, yeah, God, why now? And angels are restraining themselves. Well, see, when they tell you to grow, don't look, ah, leave me now, let me grow some sauce. Just grow up. I used to wonder those days, can I be really responsible for someone's life or death? When God showed me, he said, you're not serious. Yes, someone can die because you didn't pray. Neatly. It was so clear to me. By the time I left university, it was so clear. I remember hearing someone die. I ran out. I had the burden 3 times. I knew. Immediately they told me, ah! I ran out of the church where I was like this. When I stood in the office and cried and cried and cried. An empty building, incomplete building. And cried. And I said, God, please. Please. Let nobody ever die. I'm not, now looking back, I think God tried to comfort me and showed me, got me to know that the person had been warned repeatedly by others. So even though I didn't know, but I felt it was 100% my responsibility, but it can be. Because I've prayed for people and things, and it happened immediately. And I wondered, what if I didn't pray? If as I prayed for someone, the person I called in 2 minutes, or 3 minutes, or 5 minutes from the time I prayed, and told me that the car they were in just tumbled 5 times or 4 times. That's the way you say the car just tumbled 4 times. And the person just had bruises and a light cuts. What if I didn't pray? You want to tell me it's of no consequence? How the hell do we know? Okay, why did I pray then? Why did God tell me? Some people, because you don't understand how prayer works, you're like, no, it would have still been like that. May you not learn from practicals. May you not learn from practicals. May not a few not die first, then you now say, oh, maybe I should be praying. Just pray at once. You're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, you think, no, we don't believe in the Holy Spirit. Pray in English then. Pray in English about things you don't know. Just say, I'm just feeling somehow. I think I should pray. God bless my father. Bless my mother. It's a burden to pray. That lecturer that is stressing, I say, hey, God, I want to talk to you about that course. You have just wasted spiritual time. You're an embarrassment to the intercessory core of heaven. But why can't you pray properly? Because you've disobeyed Romans chapter 8 verse 26. You do not know how you ought to pray, but the Spirit knows how you should pray. He knows your infirmities and prays for you according to the will of God with words which cannot be uttered in plain language. So you go, Rakusanda Bakara Shimbra Katalaha. You pray in the spirit, and in spiritese, you are saying, Father, right now, I commit that my classmate from 3 years ago, Naemeka, into your hands. On that road, as he's walking, may those kidnappers not see him. But how will you, when they tell you grow, you will not grow. They look for someone to disturb. No, yeah, just young. This thing is for pastors. I was not a pastor when God taught me any of these things. I was a year 2 student in the university. Normal human being. Not looking for anyone's trouble. Not trying to be anything. Just normal. I remember asking God, because many times it would be females and it's immorality issues. And I would ask God, can't there be someone else like a girl? Because I'm feeling embarrassed for the guy. I'm feeling embarrassed for myself. I mean, I'm feeling shy and self-conscious. And this thing, I mean, they have to talk about is about... And to really help someone repent is not always what you can call morality. Especially if they are born again. Many times, that's why they don't get healed. You know what happens when you want to get healed without uncovering anything? See, whenever you come up with something that is not scriptural, you're wrong. You're just wrong. Even in fact, Catholics that used to try and say, confess. Father, I did it, but too light. I committed adultery. With who? Committed adultery. I lied. I stole. God forgive you. What are you talking about? That's not confessing your fault. That is you fully clothed. Doctor, I'm not feeling well. Don't touch me. I'm not feeling well. I diagnose guilt and shame. I recommend repentance. How? Just take these two tablets and drink water. How many of you would love to visit such a doctor? That would be your family doctor. You know you're dead. So I'm teaching you how to take a confession. Because you're permitted to. James chapter 5. Of course, the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. So you should look for someone righteous. All the people that like it to their best friend. You and your friend, you fall turn by turn. Pukrum taka. This one for, okay. Pukrum taka. What are you doing? They said you should be confessing. The Bible says that call the elders of your church leadership. And it ends by talking about Elijah. That the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. He says they will pray for you the prayer of faith and you will be healed. That's when God taught me what that thing meant. And he led me come to understand that when someone is laboring under sin, iniquity, and he confesses it and is prayed for, it's embarrassing, usually, yes. By the time you open your mouth, it's easy in this congregation because people have shared so many testimonies about their life in the past and everything. And, you know, we don't shame people and it's so easy to share anything and not feel condemned and nobody looks down on you. However, so many people still struggle so hard. So they hide the festering wound that is just by the tailbone. Really embarrassing. I mean, for you to see this and treat this, I have to strip. I have to pull down. Ouch. No. Don't now. That thing will grow and grow. By the time they are treating you, it's not that they will uncover and put medication. It will be uncovered like that, exposed to the air, so it will dry for a very long time. Like, every time you hide it and keep it, it gets worse. Have you not found out? You didn't hear from your neighbor's story? Every time you hide it and keep it, it gets worse. It always does. Thus is the nature of disease. It gets worse. The quicker you open it up, the sooner you get healed. You cover the wound in clothes with big dressing. You walk around deceiving people, acting like all is well, all is well, all is well. When all is not well, don't do it. You're not hurting anyone. And many people think, no, it's not like that. Spiritually, it's not a wound. I'm telling you that spiritually, it is a wound. And when it is festering beneath, the longer it stays, the closer it gets to the bone. By the time it will be treated now, they will have to be cutting out chunks of flesh. It may have started as a little thing and it becomes a really painful and disgusting one. But it didn't start so. If it was dealt with at the beginning, it would never become anything serious. Now, again, there are wounds you can treat by yourself. It's on the forearm here. And you can put a bandage on it. You can swab it with spirit. Yes? Like that. You can treat yourself. It's a wound. It's a scarring. It's something. Not, you know. Oh, it's a cut. But there are wounds that you can't even see. Like you don't even know where. You just know there's a horrible pain somewhere there. You can't even reach it. And there are many people, they couldn't start to reach their problem if they tried. They have never overcome even stealing sweets. Is it a demon of kleptomania you now overcome? No. So you need people that are equipped, skilled, trained to handle such matters. Thus comes in what you refer to as the man of God. But I've told you, it's not just some big head, complicated, hard to see, money demanding being. It can be someone your age or younger who has paid the price of being trained. Hebrews 12 calls it chastening. It is someone who has been trained by the Lord, allowed themselves to be trained, and they can be skilled and they know, well, all right, just like doctors will say, all right, could you strip? Like a matter of fact, like, what do you mean I'm married? Hey, tell madam. Please, you want to have the child inside your underwear, please. Just come, don't waste time. Do you know that's part of why God allows the pain? So you won't think. Oh, when women are put into bed, they don't care. Do you know pain doesn't allow people to argue? Oh, you haven't wondered why sometimes God allows your life go completely problematic. Many people, but I'm asking why? Please don't do it. If you're here under the sound of my voice. May you not be those kinds of people that the pain has to get so bad. Now, the truth of the matter is, whenever you have an issue at the nascent stage, the beginning, deal with it, early stage. Don't let it become a blooming crisis. Don't. Humble yourself, the Bible says, under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due season. Huh? You come under a doctor's. I hope you know when that woman is pregnant that she has to humble herself under the hands of all those doctors. Huh? But later when she's walking, dedication service, she's exalted. Yes? Everybody say, yeah, hi. Oh, many of those nurses are like, oh, I wish I had mine, jealous and all that. It doesn't matter who and how. The important thing is they helped you come through. Yes? God knows what you need. God knows what you need, and he will help you. But you need to humble yourself under his hand. He will lift you up in due time. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. For your sake. Don't be proud. You know what happens to the proud? What happens to the proud? Always. Pride goes before a fall. The proud fall. It's not complicated. The proud fall. But Jesus said, he that humbles himself will be exalted. So I know it's embarrassing. And you know why I'm so blessed? When people share testimonies and they are very frank and they share about their life, all that encourages others to share and others. And so you see others humbling themselves. And you're like, yes. And you receive strength. Praise God for you. And everyone that helps others like that. But it's not enough once. Some people are embarrassed. How many times? I have confessed 3 times now. 5 times now. Does it matter? Yes, you're a stupid child. You keep putting yourself in dangerous situations. But it doesn't change anything. Have you read what we read in 2 Kings? How many times did they break the laws? How many times did they offend God? Repeatedly. Over and over and over again, they offended God. They kept sinning. Go and read. They started sinning from the first king of Israel, Jeroboam. Multiple, at least 4 or so dynasties. By dynasty, I mean a line of kings from the same family. Apart from the individual kings that would carry out coups and all sorts of things. So they had, I don't know, maybe about 20 plus kings come and go. Maybe 30. And all of them maintained their sin in one form or the other. All. So when God finally said, aha, enough. This Israel, stop claiming I'm your God. Do you know Elijah and Elisha were prophets in Israel, not in Judah? Those are amazing prophets. So, they enjoyed the prophet's grace. All those things, Elijah and Elisha, when they would tell the king, hey, get ready, some enemies are coming from this side. They were telling it to these wicked kings. They were helping them. Do you know what many people do when God helps them? They presume all is right. Some are here now. You presume, do anyhow. If I was not okay, God wouldn't be helping me. Better go read your Bible. I'm helping you now. God sent Elijah and Elisha, the most powerful prophets, talk about, to this wicked nation that he shipped off. So don't say, because you're enjoying the ministry and the help of people that are powerfully used by God, and God is with, that it means you're okay. It's just a sign that greater judgment will come on your head. Because to whom much is given, much is expected. Don't you know, one of the best things, do you know what God did for Judah just before they shipped them off to Babylon? He raised the king called who? Josiah. Have you read about Josiah? When they had a feast of tabernacles in the time of Josiah, the Bible says there had never been any like it before or after. A wonderful king who loved God. This guy loved God so much. When he went on God's battle, he cleaned up Judah where he was king and crossed over into Israel where he was not king and cleaned it up too. That's the level of revival Josiah brought. Immediately Josiah died, the next person came in. God went, pack them! And he sent them off to Babylon. Yes. People don't understand that it's usually at the edge of judgment that God sends much of the greatest help. It's a principle of spiritual things. When you see God begin to raise signs, clear and great signs, and convincing proofs, know that judgment is about to come on someone's head. People take it the opposite way. It means we can go on now, small more. If things were so bad, would God send this help now? It is because things are about to get very bad that he's sending that help. He sends the best. In case someone is still doubting, so I'll give you my final proof. When did God send Jesus? Why didn't Jesus come 1,000 years before when he came? Why did Jesus come when he came? Do you remember the parable he told? A man owned a vineyard. Huh? And he gave some people to manage. And then he sent some servants, give reports on the vineyard and the fruit, the harvest, the money you've earned. What did they say? They beat up the guy and sent him away. Now we dey here. Where you from come? Come out here, Joe. Some they stoned, some they beat up, some they did this and that. Jesus told this parable to the Pharisaical leaders of his time. They knew exactly what he meant. And they hated him. Upon that, they still did it. He said, finally, the man said, let me send my son, my heir. They will fear him. So the man sends his best at the end. As he comes, they say, this is the one that is to inherit this property. Let's kill him so we can own the property. And then he asked them, what do you think that king, Jesus asked them, what do you think that king will do to those servants? And they answered, he will come and utterly destroy them and all. And he said, yes, so shall it happen to this generation. In less than 40 years, when that story was told, their temple, Jerusalem, was razed to the ground. It actually happened in spite of the warning. There are people like that. I don't know if there are people that have like an... But if the Bible says even those that have a covenant with hell, it can be annulled. It's like they are just bent on like me, destruction is my portion. Less than 40 years from the time Jesus said that, all those guys were wiped out. They slaughtered them. Jesus came because judgment was at the door for them. That's why Jesus came. God always sends his best when it's about to get really bad. Josiah, Jesus,